Mark, yeah, we do go back. I won't tell you how far, you know, how we go back, but we do go back a long way. Most of you in here, I know a lot of names I can call. Many of you, get my age, I don't apologize for names much anymore. You know, I can't remember a lot of names, but anyway, I appreciate each of you coming. And let's see, back on the back. David, can you hear me? Jefferson, sounds okay? All right, thank you. Okay. I want you to turn to two portions of Scripture, one in Colossians and one in Philemon. And if you'll turn there, I appreciate what Mark had to say about, doing things according to what the Bible says to do and using it as our source book. That's what I want to talk to you along that line today. And so we will we will begin this in Colossians chapter 4, and Colossians, okay, now let me give you just a little bit. Colossians was written in when Paul was in prison in Rome. It was if you have a Scofield Bible, I believe in the top of your Bible it'll say AD 64, and I'll say some more about that just in a minute or two. But anyway, it was written there from a prison in Rome. And it was delivered at the same time he wrote Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians. And he wrote Philippians that same year. I'm not sure how he got it. But those three books we see in Colossians chapter 4, look in verse 9, and we see how this happened. Let me start with 7. It's Colossians 4 and verse 7. He says here, "All my state shall Tacitus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent." He said, "I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brethren, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here." And so he's in Rome now, in prison. He's sending these letters by Onesimus and Tychius to the brothers in Colossae, and he's got a message for them. He also had a message for the Ephesians and another one for the people in Philemon's place there in Colossae. But anyway, now if you go over to Philemon, and he tells you a little bit more about this, he says there that in verse 1 and 2, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And so he's identifying some people here I want to comment on just a minute. And to our beloved Apia and Archippus, our fellow worker, and to the church in thy house, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul refers to these people here. Philemon was a fellow laborer, and he also talks about Apia. And that was, we believe, most writers believe that Apia was Philemon's wife. And so, and then he talks about Archippus. He said, we don't know much about him, except it says these are fellow soldiers. And Paul was counseling these people. And Archippus may have been the son of Philemon and Apia. And some believe he was the pastor of the church that was in Philemon's house in Colossae. Oh, there's a very interesting story about that. But anyway, some think that he was the son of these folks. But anyway, he gives us a very, very timely verse in Colossians chapter 4. And this is where I want to center our attention today for just a few minutes on verse 17 in Colossians chapter 4. And look in verse 17, and he says here, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." And so that's in Colossians 4, verse 17. And that is what I want to talk to you about today. Here he singled out Archippus and said, "Now you got a ministry." He said, "The ministry that God has given you in the Lord, I want you to fulfill that ministry." And that's what Mark was referring to about reading the Bible, finding out where you are and what you're supposed to be doing and how you need to be going about it, you see. And so he says, take heed to the ministry and fulfill it. Now, there's no information that would lead us to believe that Archippus was any kind of a super Christian or a elevated Christian or anything of that sort, but he is one that got a very, very important counsel from the Apostle Paul. He was just an ordinary fella, and along comes it, just like our pastor, Preacher Leslie before him. Great men come up because they're ordinary people that God lays his hand on and says, I want you to go do this, you see. And so that's what was happening here with Archippus. And so now I'm going to ask you a question here. Now, I don't know what Gary's been teaching on, and I didn't want to try to follow up on his. And so this is going to be different than what you're studying now. So just take what I have to say and try to digest it, and Gary will get back on track when he comes back. And so a question I have for you is, if you look at that minute, that statement, he said, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, is that any different when he talks to Archippus than it would be to somebody here, to Leroy or to Nick Ream or somebody? Does the Word of God say to you, there is something I have special for you, and you're the only one who can do it, and I want you to take hold of that and get hold of it and go do it? And so, well, I would submit to you that he would be no different if he was talking to you today. He would say, look, God has a ministry for you. There's something in the Word of God that speaks to your heart and will send you on your way, and I want you to take heed to that and do it. But I know most people will say, yeah, I'm not called to be a pastor or a choir director or a bus captain or anything of that sort. Well, but we're all, every single one of us is fellow Christians, and we're fellow soldiers, and we're part and parcel of the army of God. You see, we're supposed to do something. So he says, you have a ministry. Pay attention to it. Fulfill it, understand it, and go out and do it. Whatever yours is, wherever you go, God has something for you. For you to do. And so some people say, well, I'm not a full-time Christian. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's what you're whatever you do, you're full-time in whatever it happens to be. I was thinking about this. My wife and I were visiting Mr. Hodges, who's at home now, shut in. He was in a hospital in Johnson City. We went up and visited him. And when we left there and got on the elevator and started down, this lady got on the elevator with us, and we gave her a tract, asked her if she was a Christian. She looked at it. She said, oh, Buffalo Ridge. Preacher Lashley used to come and pick me up. You know, I rode a bus out there even before the buses were started. She was age of a lot of people in this class, I guess. And she broke down. She said, my mother's up here. She's 91 years old, and I've been here to see her, and I want you to know that I believe that God sent you to me today. She told my wife and I that on the elevator up in Johnson City. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're saying something to somebody to try to encourage them, and so exhortation is what we're here for today, is what the Bible calls it now. And so you need to pay attention to where you are and who has needs and things of that sort. And so we're all fellow soldiers. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a bus captain or things of that sort, but you have a ministry. And so Paul is saying to everybody that he comes in contact with, whatever that is, I want you to get a hold of it and do it. Okay, now, so what we want to do here, each Christian is in some fashion a fellow soldier and has a job to do. Now, I want to ask you a question here. If he says here, I'm a minister, that's what he's saying in this situation. If you're a fellow soldier, then there's a ministry for you to do. And if you have a ministry, then you're a minister. Now, let that soak a little bit, you know. So every person in here that's born again is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a witness for him. We have a job to do. Now, what's a minister? Now, he's a diplomatic representative, and the Bible in 2 Corinthians says that we're ambassadors for God, for Christ, and we're supposed to be doing something to fulfill that particular assignment that we have. So an ambassador is somebody that's assigned as a counsel. You know about that. We've heard a lot of ambassadors appointed by Mr. Trump here in the last few months and few weeks. And so people go to different places, and they represent the home country while they're there as an ambassador. Now, that, folks, that's the definition of what we are today. This is not our home. This is not our permanent residence. We're going somewhere one of these days, and it may be today. We're going to do something that will surprise everybody, and we'll leave. Thank you. Appreciate that. We may be going somewhere, and we may not know when it is or anything of that sort. I'm going to comment on that in just a minute. But anyway, thank you, David. But anyway, here, what I want to say to you, though, is I looked up this word ministry. If I got it right, in the King James Bible, it's in there 22 times. Two times it's in there, it has to do with tools and things of that sort. In Numbers 4:12, it says instruments of ministry. Talks about that. In Hebrews 9:21, it's called vessels of ministry. But 90% of the time that you see the word ministry in the Word of God, it is talking about some act that people are doing. Not a tool, not something of that sort, but something that you are doing. Now, Hosea in 12:10 says the ministry of the prophets, you see. Even in the time of Christ, Judas was considered to have part of this ministry in the book. And we read that in the book of Acts, you see. And so they elected somebody to fill in the position that Judas had as a part of the ministry of the 12 disciples, you see. And so there's a lot of things you need to do. There's a lot of ways you can define this thing ministry, but we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not our home country. We're going somewhere one of these days, and we're representing him while we're on the way. And so we need to be very careful about that. So Paul defines it in a different way. He defined it in Romans chapter 12. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service, is what he said. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Well, that's what we're supposed to do, you see. And so these are things or characteristics that identify the ministry. Now, I like Pastor preached on here just a few days ago. And there was a missionary here not too long ago that had this same thing. You know, Paul was on the road to Damascus. And the first thing he knew, first thing he said when he saw the light, he said, who art thou, Lord? Then when he found out, he said, what would you have me to do? So the who and the what have to be in the right order. Today, first thing our responsibility is recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ really is and determine we're going to serve him. And we find out from this source book. Now, every Christian has a source book. And so a Bible is what we go by. And so he says here that we are supposed to follow that, and we're supposed to follow and find out what we're supposed to do. Paul says, what would thou have me to do? Now let's talk a little bit about how long have you got to serve the Lord? We don't know that. Some of us, I've been around a long time, as long as many people in this room here, you know. But but anyway, I don't know how long we're going to live. But I mean, here 3 months ago, the 18th day of January, we started a prayer meeting here in this church on Wednesday night. And right down here at this intersection, we ended up in a head-on collision that took my wife to the hospital, and I had to go to it, have some checks, you know, and things of that sort. But the first thing I knew, I was sitting there in the turn lane. I don't know what happened. I probably know, but I don't know for sure. Anyway, ready to make a turn, and bang, the next thing I knew, the airbag exploded, and we were involved in a collision. Now, I've thought many times, you know, how fast it is that God take you out of here. You don't know how long you're going to be here. You don't know what your function is going to be or how you're going to go. But now, what I'm saying is that let's think back now about this letter that came. We see it was written in AD 64. Now, I've got a note in my Bible. This is in a book that I have on my History of the World by a man named Usher. He had in there, he said, Paul was beheaded on June the 29th, AD 67. Now, I don't know how he got that. I'm not trying to run that down. I'm just giving you an illustration here. But that's in a book that I have on my shelf at home. So he wrote this letter in 64. Now, how long did it take for that letter to get from Rome to Asia Minor? These people were walking, you know, and things of that sort. But they had instructions for these people in Colossae. And Paul says, you give them this letter and be sure it's read to the Laodiceans. And he tells us in there. And he said, there's a ministry there. There's something you've got to do and you need to get about it. Now, the thing that he did not know and they did not know when he delivered that, I don't know how long it took them to get there, but let's say it took them a year. They were walking everywhere they went then. So it may have been a year, it may have been 6 months, may have been 2 years, I don't know. But he wrote this letter in 64. Now, and he said, here's the words again. Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. We know from history that in the high numbers, don't know what year it was, of AD 60s, Colossae was absolutely destroyed by an earthquake. Now, what does that mean? That means here's a man that's got a message, and Paul is saying, Archippus, there's something you need to do. You need to get about it. Now, he did not know, but I don't know whether he got killed in that earthquake. I have no idea where Philemon survived that. I don't know. I know that it was sufficiently disastrous, they had to rebuild the whole city now. It was gone. And so here's a man that's got a message here, and he doesn't know it, but he's got less than 5 years to do it. And he's going to be gone before he can turn around. Now, and so we don't know today when we're leaving this earth. All we know is that God has put us here for a purpose, and he has said, there's some things I want you to do, and I want you to be careful about it. I want you to get about it. I want you to pay attention to it and go do it. And it's all in the book. This is Mark's already pointed out, this is our source book right here. This is the book that we go by. This is our manual. Shelton Smith stood right here in this spot when I was teaching Sunday school in this room then, and he taught on a Sunday morning, and he got his Bible out. He said, this is what we go by. Emphasize that very drastically. And so this is what we want to see here in our instructions from the Word of God, is what are we supposed to do? What are we going to do? All right, I'm just going to name these now. We'll talk a little bit about them. There's five things that any Christian, every Christian, ought to be doing somewhere in their life. Mark's already touched on one of them, and that's study the Word, read the Bible. I want to give them to you first, and then we'll talk about them a little bit here as long as we have time. Now, there's the first thing he said we need to do is study. Read. Study. Second thing is to pray. Ask God. That's the who. You talk about studying, find who is the Lord? What's he doing for us? What has he done? What do we owe the Lord, you see? And then he tells us, ye shall be my witnesses. Go do some things for me, you see, and be on fire for him. Be a servant, a fellow soldier. So we find that out when we pray. We ask the Lord. We study the book. Find out who God is and what he wants us to do. Then our obedience comes in about three forms that I've got listed here. Now, you can do it a lot of other different ways. One of the things you obey the Lord and you serve him is by giving. We're in the middle of a faith promise campaign right now, you know, and it's going very well. And so that's money that you have given, that part of your ministry that will go out to try to win somebody to Christ, you see. Now, we get all kind of good reports. So just recently, we gave a considerable sum of money for a ministry in India, and we got results back that over thousands of people were saved as a result of their outreach in that area from the church there by Dr. Sheringhead in India. So we can give. Then another thing that we can be obedient in him and serve him is by assembling ourselves, which is what we're doing here. That's what the Bible says we're doing. Now, why do we do that? Well, the Bible just says exhortation, you know. That means I'm supposed to shake hands with you and how are you doing, you know, and encourage you the best I can and try to get you to really enjoy being in the Lord's army and serving Him in whatever you do. We just try to help each other along, you see. And then the last thing we need to do, the last thing I've got listed here. The fifth thing is to be a witness for the Lord. He said, ye shall be my witnesses. Now what? Paul says, what would they have me to do? Now what did he want him to do? What did he tell him? The last thing, there was a bunch of itinerant fishermen and other people standing there in Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm leaving you. They've been in training for about 3 years at the most. That's the length of Jesus' his time, you know, during his training. And so he has said, I'm going to leave it with you, and I want you to be my witnesses. Now, if you'd been there, what would you have done? I mean, you stood there, and you watched him. All of a sudden, he separates from the earth. He drifts up, and the clouds take him out of his sight. What would you have done had you been standing there? He just said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. I don't know. I have trouble. I don't know how I would have felt if I'd have been there. But, yeah, but it certainly would have been something unusual and something different. But these people went to work, you know, and there in just a matter of days, they went back and they waited on the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, Peter preached one time. Here was an old itinerant fisherman now, wasn't too smart, and had not a lot of education, but preached the Word of God. And 3,000 people gave their life and heart to Christ. Now, that's the kind of thing we're supposed to do. Now, I don't expect you to go out and win 3,000 people now. And we don't know what will happen if we do and what would happen if we are able to do that. But anyway, the thing we want to do is to try to get as many people saved as we can. And we get that done by studying the Word of God and trying our best to follow the plan that he's talked to us about. Now, he said we're to give attention to the Word of God. Now, every vocation has a source book, and this is ours. I want to go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and read you a couple of verses here. You can take this if you want to. This is Deuteronomy 17, and this is in verse 18, chapter 17, in verse 18, and here's what he said. And it shall, and he's talking about kings now and rulers and people in authority and things of that sort. And so he says here in verse Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18, he says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which was here before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and he be turned not aside from the command. So he said the first thing God has told his people years and years before is get in the book and read and study and find out what you're supposed to do. Jesus read the fourth chapter of Luke. He read, they tried to crucify him there on the spot. They didn't like what he said, but he still read the word. And they did those things, you see, to him. And so we need to follow his let me look in 1 Timothy here just a minute. If you're there close in 1 Timothy, let me just read you a verse here of what he says in chapter 4, I believe it is, and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And he said, let no man despise thy youth, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And so he's saying, read the book. Read the instruction book. Find out what you're supposed to do and get about doing those things, you see. And so we can grow in the Lord if we're able to do that. Now, he said we're supposed to do that for enlightenment. If you don't read, if you don't practice what you know to do, you'll lose it. You'll lose the knack for doing it. You won't be able to appreciate reading unless you practice that and try doing it, see, and learn from it, you see. And then for the greatest blessings in Revelation 1, verse 3, he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things written therein. And so most important is to study the Word of God and read about it and what He wants you to do, you see. Now, these people in Colossae, they knew that they had a letter there from the Apostle Paul, and Archippus knew that he was supposed to do something. Now, I don't know how well he did it. I have no idea how much time he spent there in ministering before that earthquake came, and whether it took his life, I don't know that. But anyway, he had a challenge there to do that, you see. Well, how do we know what we're going to do? Well, if you're going to be faithful in your ministry, you got to know what to do. Well, how do you find out what to do, you see? And the Word of God is very plain in that. You see, He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's what the Lord said in the book of Psalms 32. And so He said, what is this thing we're supposed to do? Now, in Job's book, it's in the Word of God, they said unto God, depart from us. We don't want anything to do with you. They said, what is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit shall we have if we pray unto Him? Now, that's the world's viewpoint, see, today. Even now, people are asking, you know, what in the world is all this about? We need to redo the Word of God, redo all these things, and take a new look at Him, see. But Jesus said, I pray for them. He said, I pray for them, not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. He prayed for us, and He's praying for you, and He wants us to pray for them. You know, way back in Samuel's time, He said, I won't sin against you and against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. And so we need to do that. We need to read the Word, we need to pray, and we need to ask God what we ought to do. There's a lot of verses we could read and things of that sort. Time's going to catch up with us, so I'm going to move on. I want to give you, we want to obey Him. And so He says to be obedient. And so Romans 8 and 9, I want to concentrate on that for just a minute. Now, 8:29 is a verse I want to get to. Now, let me ask you a question. Why does God, here we're talking about giving now. This is the third thing I had on my list here. Now, why does God want you to give? Do you ever stop and think about that? What all does He own? Huh? Is there anything that you have that He didn't let you gain or get or anything? Is there anything that you can see or know about that God didn't put here and give us? I like what David Gibbs said about this. He got a verse of Scripture here, and it's Scripture, you see. If you owned this whole state, suppose you owned Washington County, every bit of it belonged to you, Mike. Everything in this whole East Tennessee, what could you do with it except look at it? It won't feed you any more than you get now. You get pretty good food, get pretty good meals, you see. And my wife and I eat pretty good. We go anywhere we want to, you know. Nobody's saying, don't go there, don't go here. You can't do that. Some things are not wise now. But what I'm saying is that why does He want us to give? He already owns it all. He gave it to us. Well, why does He want us to give? Well, in Romans 8 and verse 29, I want to emphasize this. Now, He wants us to do that because He said we are being conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, now let's stop just a minute. What's probably the most quoted verse of Scripture in the Word of God? And most of you would say John 3:16. Well, I think that's probably right. Well, let's just think about that. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. And that's what's going to conform us to the image of Christ, is He wants us to learn to give, you see. And if you learn to give, you learn to be conformed to what He wants you to be. And so He doesn't need your money. I mean, He could turn these floors into golden streets right here if He wanted to. He can do anything He wants to do, but He's given us that so that we could obey Him, and that He will let us do that. And so we give because it's practicing for us to learn how to be conformed to the image of God. That's what it's all about. Well, and then He says that we ought to be assembling, which we're doing this morning. We're going over and hear the pastor preach. And so He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we're just to encourage each other. It's an encouragement to me to look out and see this many people in the Sunday school class. It's encouraging when you go in and hear the pastor preach, you look around, the building's almost full, you know. It's encouraging to me when I hear him, you know, and I still think, I've always said this, I have never in my life heard a man of God or anybody else could take a verse of Scripture and get as much out of it as Jody Jenkins can. He can just tear it all apart and just give you things that you never dreamed were there in that Scripture, you see. Well, that's what he wants us to do. And so if we'll do that, if we'll follow him, that's another thing we can do in serving this ministry. Then the other thing is to witness. Wherever you go, be a witness. And so we need to do that. Don't cease to read. Don't cease to pray. Don't cease to give. Don't cease to do all these things, you see, and be a witness. Assemble yourselves together and be a witness to him. Now, we say, yeah, but I can't do that. Well, we all think that when we're going out. You know, I think this is over my head. You know what? I've done a lot of things in church. I've never one time, never ever in my life, have ever had a study course. Never had a college course. Never had any kind of instructions on how to do things. You'd be amazed what you can do if you'll just say, I believe I'll do that, you know, and just get up and do it. And somehow or another, it just happens to be there, you know, that you can do it. You can get it done. And the Bible said in Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. He could take somebody like me, you know, and he could let, you know, be a witness to somebody. I was talking about that lady in the elevator, you see. And so you just never know how God's going to use you if you'll just be available to him to use in whatever way he sees fit, you see. Now, what I want to leave with you is this thought. This is the application. Colossians 4:17. Take heed to the ministry that God has given to you in the Lord, that you fulfill it. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can give. You can assemble together the way we have today. You can witness. You can do all these. Everybody can do that. Nobody's immune to doing those things, you see. But he says, take heed to this, that you do it. Now, do we have 10 years? Maybe we have 20. I don't know. And maybe we have today. That may be all. These people that this book was written to were gone in less than 5 years. The whole town was gone in an earthquake in less than 5 years. And so just take heed to what God's given you, that you fulfill it. Thank you for listening to me this morning. Father, bless your word, our hearts. We don't have anything, Lord, strange to offer anybody. We just have the book, as Mark has mentioned already, Lord. And it's a good book, an instruction book that we can use in every way we see fit. Now, dear God, help us now as we go through the rest of this day. Touch the service over in the sanctuary, Lord. Be with our pastor as he preaches, and help us to do right and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.